We want to continue talking about this whole idea of duchening. We've already had two shirim on the topic. We've discussed this once in terms of duchening in Haifa, because, again, we've noted that there's this interesting minhag that for some reason in certain areas in northern Israel, they do not duchen, and potentially the weirdest of those places is Haifa, where it's unclear why they don't duchen, but for whatever reason they do not. And then we also discussed the question in general, which we discussed in a recent shiur. We also discussed a little while ago as part of a larger shiur about minhagim and interesting minhagim in general. And that is this question of duchening in terms of chutz la'aretz. Why is it that kohanim don't duchen in chutz la'aretz, even though it's a mitzvah to say, there's a mitzvah to duchen every day, and for some reason in chutz la'aretz we do not duchen. So we have this. We've noticed this is our the background that we've built so far. Now I want to address a slightly different question, slightly from the opposite angle, and that is the question of duchening for a non-kohen. Is a non-kohen allowed to duchen, and how does that work? We have addressed actually a part of this question all the way back before I was even officially rabbi of this shul, back all the way in my Prova Shabbos. We actually discussed the question of giving a bracha to your kids Friday night. We noted that that is it's a form of duchening. You also give a bracha there to your kids. And we had to somewhat justify why you were allowed to, were you allowed to give that bracha? How do you give that bracha? Why was that potentially different than giving a bracha to the kohanim give in shul? I think we noted then that part of the differences were whether or not, you know, you use two hands over your kid, only use one hand, or another potential difference is that in that situation, the chazan doesn't actually call the kohanim to duchen like we would do in shul, right? In shul, obviously, the chazan or somebody announces kohanim and then the kohanim duchen, whereas by, obviously, when you're giving a bracha to your kid, no one's making that announcement. You just, you know, say those psukim. So that's a slightly different question. Now, tonight, I specifically want to address the question of a non-kohen duchening in shul, duchening, you know, a formal duchening. As we do that, though, there's a couple of interesting ma'ari mekomot, a couple of interesting sources that come up that are, I think, might not add that much to the main question that we have, but are interesting enough, I think, to at least quote them. So I would like to at least bring those up as well as we go, but again, not necessarily our main focus. So just to take a step back all the way to the beginning, Rob, this is specifically for you. I know you want to start halacha from the beginning, from the actual psukim. So let's, hopefully you can all see my screen. And let's talk about, you know, the pasuk tells us, the Be'er el Aaron, right? Hashem tells Moshe, tell Aaron and his sons, Le'mor kol tevachot b'nei Yisrael amor lahem. Right, this is the formula, the bracha that you have to give the Jewish people. And then, you know, they obviously quote it, bracha Hashem Yitzmacha, Yal Hashem Panav Elecha Bichoneka, and Yisrael Hashem Panav Elecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom. Right, those are the three psukim that Kohanim always say when they're duchening. And so, it sounds like, that when you read the pasuk, there's a mitzvah to say for Kohanim to duchen, to be mevarech b'nei Yisrael. Now, it's interesting, Gemara and Ksubas. There are two different Gemaras that are going to be the main part of this year, and then we're going to have to try to figure out how to resolve them. But let's start from this Gemara. It's a Gemara and Ksubas. Gemara and Ksubas is trying to figure out which one is more egregious to be able to trust whether or not someone is a Kohen. The person shows up, we don't really know who this guy is, and which one is really the issue? If he eats Truma, is that the one that's, you know, more impressive of someone who's willing to eat Truma that's obviously a Kohen? Or is someone who's willing to duchen, is that obviously a kohen? The reason why truma should be the main reason why I would assume that someone is actually a kohen, if we see him eating truma, then we assume he's really a kohen, is because truma is in Issa D'Oraisa. If you eat truma and you're not a kohen, you're being over Issa D'Oraisa. Whereas duchening is potentially only a mitzvah derabanan, maybe it's just, or better yet than that, it's only an Issa Aseh, it's not an Issa Losa Aseh, by truma, there's a chi of misa for a non kohen to eat truma. And so, if we see someone eating truma, and so al achas kama vekama, then definitely he's also someone that can duchen. This guy is clearly a kohen. Conversely, the other man argues. He says nesias kapayin v'fahesia ilav kohen hu kulei hay lo mechatzif inishnafshe. Right, nesias kapayim duchening. If that happens in shul in front of everybody, so if you see someone duchening, then we know for sure that he's a kohen. But if he doesn't duchen, but eating truma, that's not something that's done mifahesia. That's something that's done privately in your home. And so if you are if all you do is eat truma, that doesn't necessarily signify that you really are kohen. Now, what's interesting is the Gemara says is nesias kapayim, right? In other words, ezal, someone who is not a kohen who goes up to duchen, that is an iser asei. What's the iser asei? Rashi says kol tevachu, right? The pasuk I just quoted to you before, the bel aron vebanav lemo kol tevachu. You're the one that should give a bracha. And Rashi says, what does that mean? Atem velo zarim, right? Specifically, you as in kohanim, but not people that are zal, non kohen. And what is this? This is, it's called a lav haba michlal asei, right? It's a lav haba michlal asei. In general, we have a principle that there is, from a yes, I can infer a no, right? By the fact that the pasuk tells me that kohanim are the ones that's supposed to give a bracha, that means that there's also, within that commandment, there's a prohibition for someone who is not going to give a bracha. Rob, you want to say something?
Yeah, I have a question. Just the Gemara where it says, does that mean that no one will embarrass themselves or reveal themselves so much the farhesia because they might be found out? Is that what the implication is?
Exactly. It's like the idea is machatzif is like chutzpah. The person's not going to have the chutzpah to go up there and go, yeah, I'm a kohen, because someone's going to realize, you know, like it's very easy to find, you know, if someone finds out you're not a kohen, it's very easy to point, like, what were you doing up there? Whereas if I eat truma, like, who's going to know that I ate truma? I did that in my kitchen. Nobody saw what I was doing.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you.
So we'll see soon another Gemara that implies the exact opposite of this Gemara. But what is interesting when we look at this Gemara is the Gra. Now, this is fascinating. Again, this doesn't really have anything to do with our shir per se, but I want to quote it anyway, just because these are weird sources. So I like mentioning quoting weird sources when we have the opportunity. For some reason, the Gra is a big deal when it comes to duchening, right? He's the reason why possibly the reason why we duchen in Israel, is potentially because Talmidei HaGra were the ones that went to Israel first, right? He's the one, we quoted this last time, he's the one who tried to bring duchening back to Chutz La'aretz, and then apparently he goes to jail, and then his Talmud tries to do the same thing, and then the shul, or half the city burns down, right? He's really involved in the whole duchening sugya. I do want to say, actually, before I forget, I was giving this year, and then I was preparing this year, and then I actually got the email notification. The OU has something called All Daf. It's a Daf Yomi. They have, as part of it, they have this like Daf Yomi Chabura with Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Brutt, who's quite an interesting man to listen to. But apparently, since because of what Daf Yomi is currently up to, he's giving a shir right now about duchening daily. So I'm sure, I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet. I'm sure whatever he's talking about is probably better than the sources that I've put together or that I'm using. But just something, another source to keep in mind. I'll listen to it later and I'll, Rob, maybe I'll add another duchening shir, as I'm sure you want. But anyway, the Gra tells me in Ma'aseh Rav, right, which may or may not be an accurate representation of what the Gra thinks. The Gra says, or the Talmidei HaGra quote from the Gra, Lo iskin l'minhag lomar b'rkat kohanim k'shemilav v'chaveiro. Right, this is a thing. Sfaradim love this one in particular. Right, apparently the Gra didn't like this whole idea of when you're taking your friend's going off on a trip or whatever it is, you're not going to see him for a little bit. So before he leaves, before you part ways, you give him a bracha and you give him b'rkat kohanim. And he says, Ben Yosadia apparently is a Talmud of the Gra. And he doesn't really know the reason why, but apparently for whatever reason, the Gra was anti this whole concept. Now, there's another Sefer Emunah Het Chaya. This is not a serious halachic Sefer per se, but it is interesting. The story is particularly weird, so I thought I would quote it. This is Hagoyen HaGadol Tzadok Avichaska Levi Landau. Okay, Nechad Lagon Bachacham Tzvi. Rav Bezin Nikilas Kodesh Vilna. So this guy, this is a story from Vilna. Kshaya Ben 15 Shana. This guy's 15 years old. ולקח אותו הרב הגיבור המפורסם רב אלי מווילנה שהיה נקרא בשם לייבור הברס לחתן לביתו והרב הגיבור הזה שהיה מכניסם לבית מדרשו של הגרא. Right, this guy is basically לכן נכנס שרי מחתן אלוהי מיוחס הזה בכל המועד סוכס לסוכס הגרא. Right, so this guy is about to he was about to get married and his whoever this was, his father-in-law, whoever it was, decided he's about to get married, he should go get a bracha from the Gra. So he brings him to the Gra's sukkah, apparently. The Gra apparently was learning there. And what the Gra takes his hand, hagon, yadav al rosho, the Gra takes his hands, puts it on the chasan's head, uberechoto barichat yamin v'shanim. He gives him this whole bracha. And the fish haya az etzel agra b'emtza suda satzoraim. The Gra apparently was eating lunch. Hayu yadav shminit me'achilato. I don't know what exactly. I didn't have forks or whatever it was. His hands apparently were dirty. I'm not really sure where the hands were going here, but apparently he puts his hands on his strimo. The chasan, the guy who just got married or was about to get married, had this new strimo that for his wedding. And the Gra apparently takes his hands, that apparently were dirty from lunch, and puts them on the strimo to give him the bracha because he's putting it on his head. So he's putting his hands there, and you can recognize all 10 fingers of the Gra because they were dirty. So I guess he left his fingerprints on his brand new shtreimel. And he was very young; he was 15 when he was got married. I can't really read this word, whatever that says. Right? He got all upset that the Gra ruined his shtreimel. Apparently, it cost 10 dinar zahav. Apparently, that's a lot of money. Umnam, afterwards, apparently, he got older. He became a man. He said he was so excited that, you know, he had a shtreimel. Who else could say they have a shtreimel with the fingerprints of the Gra on top of it? So he was very excited that he had the shtreimel, and this was his special shtreimel. He only wore it on Yom Kippur, and he apparently lived until he was 90 years old. I don't know if the implication of this story is he lived 90 years old because he had the fingerprints of the Gra on his head, but whatever. But anyway, the point of this whole story is that even though it sounded like from the Maisa Rav that the Gra didn't like giving brachos with two hands like the Kohanim did, apparently this story quotes that the Gra did give brachos with both of his hands. So unclear from the Gra whether or not he thought that someone who was a non-Kohen can give a bracha like Kohanim do. Kohanim, exclusive Kohen way of giving a bracha is by using two hands. Now, as we have mentioned in the past, so I'm not going to spend really a lot of time on this, but remember, that's one of the questions, one of the potential differences, one of the issues with giving a bracha to your kids on Friday night, or giving a bracha in general, is people that put two hands on the head of the kid. You put two hands, that is something that's exclusive to Kohanim, and we potentially have this Gemara that we just quoted, that Kohanim are the only ones that are allowed to give a bracha like this. Everybody else cannot. But again, remember, there's potentially a couple of other considerations. So first, let's look at another Gemara. This is a Gemara in Shabbos. Amar Rav Yossi, miyamai lo avarti al divrei chaverai. I always did whatever my friends told me. I succumbed to peer pressure. Yodei ani be'atzmi she'eini kohen. I know that I'm not a kohen. Im omen li chaverai ale leduchan ani ole. However, since I always listen to my friends, if my friends tell me to go up to Duchen, I would go up to Duchen. I don't really know what was going on between him and his friends. I don't really understand the story. I don't really know what he's talking about. But bottom line, the point of this Rabbi Yossi Shita, what we see, as opposed to the previous Gemara, is that here, Rabbi Yossi is telling me that even though he is not a Kohen, he would still go up to Duchen, which is obviously potentially problematic. I just showed you a Gemara that told me that if you go up to Duchen and you're not a Kohen, according to at least Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, it sounds like that's what the Gemara is saying. You're being over an essay. You're going against what the Torah said. Torah only let Kohanim do it. Doesn't let non-Kohanim go up. And Tosva says, Ilo yamun chavera ele leduchan, lo yadari ma isol yesh bezar ha ele leduchan. Vari apparently said, yeah, why not? What iser is there for a zar, for someone who's a non-Kohen, to go duchen? He said, maybe there's an issue of bracha levatala. He's making it sound like the bracha levatala is not a big deal. I guess we'll try to address that a little bit later. But overall, just if you just leave aside the bracha levatala part, because again, the kohanim make a bracha before they start duchening, if you just set that aside, then, like, who cares? Who cares who goes up there? What's really the big deal? There's a couple of other interesting sources here. The Chinuch, when he describes the way the Kohanim do the Ar Mivarech at Davo Yisrael, he says, Noten HaKohen et Yodav El Rosh HaBenu V'acho Kefi Sheyodah L'Vacho Kigon Hashem Shomuecha Kerech Yemim Eshnat Chayim Hashem Shomuecha Mekora Yishmon Noshecha Menotor HaKohen Kasef Matzir L'Chol Chavtza. Right, this is a Kohen who's giving a bracha, not through the not by typical fashion, not by not like how you would do it in Shul, but this is a Kohen giving a bracha outside of Shul, right? So that's potentially also another issue that we would have to consider. We have to think about is not just a Zal giving duchening in Shul instead of a Kohen, but also a Kohen duchening outside of Shul. The other thing that's very interesting is if you look at the Rambam, the Rambam is a master organizer. So depending on how the Rambam, where he places certain halachas, it's very telling about what he thinks about those halachas, how he addresses them, how he thinks you should be thinking about them. And the Rambam, when he talks about duchening, does anyone happen to know where he places that mitzvah? He puts it together after Avodata Kohanim, after he talks about Karbanos, he talks about Kohanim working in the Beis HaMikdash, and as part of the structure of Kohanim working in the Beis HaMikdash, he adds on the mitzvah of Duchening. He doesn't put it together with, tefillah or something like that. It's something that's as part of the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, it seems to signify that maybe there's a little bit more going on here than just simply Kohanim, saying the bracha, saying these three psukim at some random place. It could be there's something very unique here, very, very special about this, about the formula. But in order to try to address this, to figure out some of these platim, some of these details, let's try to figure out what's going on between these two different Gemaras, right? There's one Gemara that tells me Kohanim are not allowed to duchen, and this Gemara over here on Shabbos that tells me, sorry, the Gemara before that told me that non-Kohanim, that a Zal, if they duchen, they're being over and on a say, and the Gemara over here that tells me a Zal that duchens, there's no problem with duchening. So the Pnei Yeshua says, "Nil le'anilus taiti." Right? It seems to me the lo kashemidi the alkacha hadi dashin akotu v'achu ve'lo lezarim. Right? The fact that I have a Gemara and Sota that tells me kotu v'achu. Right? That's specifically for Kohanim, but not for non-Kohanim. That's only haynu bebeit ha-bechira. That's again, I have a formula of this from the Rambam. That's something that's unique to the Beis HaMikdash. Dafka kedisa besoda the ikar kara bebeis ha-bechira ayri. Right, that was something that was unique to Beis HaMikdash. V'hasam v'adei asum mishum shevachim b'shem ha-miforosh. And what's so unique about Beis HaMikdash? Not just that the pasuk was talking about Beis HaMikdash, but that there they specifically did it with Shem Mefurash. They said Hashem's name. The real Hashem's name, not like how we do it. He said, and so that's something that a non-Kohen cannot do. But that's something that's unique to Kohanim. Abigvulun de laslan kah shapir hikshari ma isle yesh bezal. But anywhere outside of Bita Bechira, outside of the structure of the Karbanos, outside of saying actually Shem Mefurash, there's no issue at all, and there's no reason at all why a zal cannot just go up and duchen. He says, This is Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi probably just didn't make the bracha. He got up there. His friends told him to go up to duchen, and he got up there. He did the duchening part. He just didn't say the bracha. He skipped the bracha, and he just said the three psukim. And who cares? All he's doing is just saying three psukim. All right. So that's one approach. Number one. Number two, the Torah Temima has also interesting idea. Right, that's what we're talking about. A zav, a non-kohen going up to do a bracha. Nira d'lechei nikra apirov inyan birkos kohanim b'shei nisiyat kapayim lahavdi mistam brachos bechlal shavavadai I afshar lahagbil rak lekohanim. Yain, ki halo lechol ish mutal avarech ish et ra'eyu. everyone is allowed to give their friend a bracha. Your friend asks you for a bracha. There's no reason why you can't give him a bracha. V'afilu zarim, zar, kohen, non-kohen, my nafkamina, what's the difference? Everyone can give brachas. V'rak, b'zeh mitziyam b'rkat kohanim, shib nisiyat kapayim, kfi shiyavo b'drasha b'samuch. V'esh la'il. Ama samcha olam v'rech ishet achiv nisiyat kapayim, arosh amit barech. Right, how do they have this idea of, where did they come with this idea that you're allowed to put your head on top, your hands on top of somebody else and actually say Birkat Kohanim? Like, apparently they didn't just do this when you were saying goodbye to one of your friends, but also Moshe Nagin Birkat Chatanim, Bikadome, right? This is the Gras story that we said earlier. They would also do this apparently when they would, after the chuppah or whatever it was, sometime during a wedding. It's a problematic to say that that this is something that's unique when you do it only under the structure of a bracha. This should always be a problem. And he says, maybe ani shemati miish umnam shagra mivina berichet goin. I'm not sure Rabbi Chiya Landau, right? That's the story that we saw before. He said, I heard that the Grud did this. And he says, that was Bishat Chabatov Eniach Yado Achat. Right? That was only one hand. That wasn't two hands. So we have two versions of the story. Right? The version we saw earlier, there was two hands placed on his trimal, and that's how he had the fingerprints of the Grud on his head his whole life. Over here, apparently, this was, and that was also in a sukkah. In this version of the story, I think it's the same person. Maybe it's just two different stories. But I'm pretty sure this is the same person. And this story over here, he apparently was sitting under, he was under the chuppah, it wasn't in the sukkah, or maybe the sukkah was the chuppah, I don't know. And he put his hand, he put one hand on, not two hands. He put one hand on, he avoided the whole issue of non-kohen. V'shalu al-kacha, he said, like, why are you doing all the one hand? Right, so the Gra apparently had a very exclusive view of the Kohanim Duchening. He was arguing that Kohanim Duchening, that's something that has to be with two hands, that's something only they can do. The rest of us, we do one hand, that's fine, we avoided the issue. It was something something that's unique to Kohanim, is involves two hands. Okay. And again, because of this view that this bracha is so unique and it has to be structured a specific way, therefore Kohanim, outside of that structure, can't do it either. They can't randomly go ahead and just give somebody a bracha just because they're in the mood. And he says, "V'lo amna melai davar chadash v'nifla, mashamatzati behakdamas sefer Rabbi Yerucham. Shevi ma'amar zeh de Rabbi Yosi, amakos shekatz v'fanin yodeh ani ba'atzmi she'ini kohen, katav sham yodeh ani ba'atzmi she'ini kedai, v'lefi zeh, yeh hakavana. Im yomru lo chaveray ale l'duchan." He has a whole different interpretation of this other Gemara. Right, the Gemara over here, Rabbi Yosi's Gemara, he says, "Am Rabbi Yosi, miyamei lo avarti yodeh chaveray, yodeh ani ba'atzmi she'ini kohen. I know I'm not a kohen, but if my friend tells me to go up to duchan, I go up." So what does this word "ale leduchan" mean? He argues, "Lo leduchan shel kohanim b'nesiat kapayim." They don't mean going up to do nesiat kapayim. Ela lemakom shesham dorshin gdolei chachamim lefnei hatzibur. He just means that this is, you know, it's like going up to the pulpit to give a speech. When people tell me to go up to give a speech, I don't think I'm worthy of giving a speech. But my friends ask me to go ahead and give a speech. I go up to, in our shul, it's convenient, it's the same place where the Kohanim go up, right? That's also where you give the speech. I would go up there and give the speech. This is a almost nice idea, except for one problem. He says, it doesn't explain why he prefaces this statement with, "An yodani batmisha eni kohen." If he's not talking about duchening as a kohen, why does he feel the need to tell me that he's not a kohen? Like, who cares whether or not he's a kohen? What difference does it have to do with the next second half of the statement? It's not a very good pshat, but it at least avoids potentially the issue. Right. So far, I really have two different ways of thinking about this. One is the Pnei Yeshua, and that is that this is something, the duchening that is usher, this isser from the first Gemara, is that of a... is that specifically in the Beis HaMikdash? And this, or this, and the second Gemara, just doing something in Shul, that's not the Beis HaMikdash, who cares? We have this middle Gra approach, right, which maybe there's a difference between one hand, two hands, who knows exactly which one, maybe Rabbi Yossi meant one of the other ones. And then we have this Toa Tamim shot that he likes, just doesn't really fit into the words of the Gemara, but that, again, one Gemara, there's always an Isser for a non-Kohen to go up to Duchen, but Rabbi Yossi wasn't talking about Duchening, he was just talking about giving a speech. Yeah.
I'm sorry, just to backtrack. Did Kane just show the first Gamora again where that is her? It didn't sink in.
Yeah, sure. Here, right? So the Gemara here says, Nisiyat Kapayim Iser Rasei. Right? The Gemara here was trying to compare which one's more egregious, doing an Iser Nisiyat Kapayim Duchening or eating Truma. And they say eating Truma is Oven Misa, right? So somebody wouldn't dare do that. But Nisiyat Kapayim is only an Iser Rasei. And Rashi tells me, what do you mean by Iser Rasei? Because the Pasuk says, right, over here, Kotev Achu Et B'nei Yisrael. Right. Now, the Bach has an interesting take on this. And he says, he quotes the Reed, the Beduchan Nekoanim Kama, Vikasha Dehechye Ovel Ase Kedeshloya Vode Vechaveh, right? Dafir Loyach Mevach Becha, Tashav Dishanu Bikdashoto Shel Aaron, Mikol Makom Ovel Ase Dekol Tevachu, right? Remember, we saw that there's a difference between, potentially according to the scrub, there's a difference between saying the bracha, not saying the bracha. Maybe he just didn't say the bracha. Maybe he just got up there and said the psukim. And the Bach argues that even just saying the psukim is problematic because the pasuk never said anything about a bracha. The pasuk just said kol tevachu b'nei Yisrael, and then said here are three psukim that only kahanim should be using. And implication being only kahanim, nobody else. And so everybody's going to be over that assay. It's not limited to I first make the bracha and then I'm saying it. And he says, said all of this is only when there are no, this whole issue is potentially when there are no other Kohanim. But when there are other Kohanim around, then it's not a problem. Right? So Hagat Shulchan Aruch, we'll see that soon. That's probably good. That's the Ramah. Right? The Ramah argues, the Ramah's right here, actually. This is the Ramah, the Darkei Moshe over here. He says, "Matzati katuba ze lefi ze yachol a Yisrael la'alot im ha-kohanim v'em yivarchu lerov am hadot melech matov." Right? So he says, who cares if the Yisrael could just go up when the other kohanim there? And it's really nice because then instead of just having me and Alan standing on the top and nobody else, this way, and Gabe sitting on the top and nobody else, this way we'll have, you know, 7 people, 8 people, 10 people standing up there, and that's really nice, and that's much nicer. And who really cares? That's not really such a big deal. And he says, what are you talking about? This is the Bach is confused by the Ramah. He says, what do you mean the Pasuk says, Kol Tevachu? The three Pesukim are the problem. The Bracha is not the one that's the actual issue. Here it is. Zorim should always have an Iser Asay, even if they don't make, even if there are other Kohanim around. He says, not only is there going to be an issue if you make the bracha and there are other kohanim around, but there's also going to be an issue if you don't even make the bracha. Just saying those words, just saying these through psukim, that's still going to be an iser. So how is he going to explain the difference between this gemara? The Rabbi Yosi lo kama el la'alot to duchan ve'la'amod l'sham be'lo shi'isat kapav klal. Obviously, he's obviously talking about, apparently, what did he do? He would just go up with the Kohanim, and he would just stand there and do nothing. Right? He says, that maybe there's going to be this issue, what was Rabbi Yossi's chiddush? What was he like trying to say by the fact that I would go up to Duchit if my friends told me to? All he's doing is he's just making this argument that, listen, I know that I'm not allowed to go up there, and I know I'm not allowed to make that bracha. And people are going to say about me that I'm not allowed to make that bracha. However, I didn't want to embarrass my friend, or again, I'm not really sure what's going on with his friends over in this story, but I don't want to like insult my friends. So even though that will mean that people will say about me that I am making a bracha lebatala, I'm still going up there. Right, so apparently he would go up there and he would say those three psukim, but he would just sit there with his hands down by his side. He wouldn't, all the other kohanim would be going like this, and he would just have his hands down. He wouldn't make a bracha, and he would just read three psukim. Again, this is a little bit of the same formulation of that gra. As long as you don't actually make the bracha, as long as you're not raising your two hands, more specifically, as long as you don't have, you know, the hands are what makes this a Kohen exclusive bracha. You get rid of the hands, you don't have a problem, who cares? And you'll see when you look at Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, he says, "Ein lazal." The Shulchan Aruch himself says, "Ein lazal yisak apav afilu im kohanim acherim." Right? Even if there are other kohanim around, you still should not be should be joining them. This is something that's exclusive for kohanim. Nobody else can be here. And the Mishnah Berurah says, "Umipri megadim mashma the isel yesh bechol gavni." There's an isel regardless. Kasa besef magen diborim. The adam atora atem lo zarim. Eno rak b'miskavin lekavanat mitzvah. If he's getting up there, but he does not have kavana to do the mitzvah, he says, what's the difference? What was Rabbi Yossi's chiddush? What's the difference between these two gemaras? In the first gemara, I have kavana to do a mitzvah, and so that would be usher for a zal to have kavana to do a mitzvah of duchening. However, in the second gemara, Rabbi Yossi does not have kavana to do the mitzvah, and therefore, there'd be no problem with him getting up there and duchening. Venirali the koze dafka lemay de kavanah leelbasim in samach sifdala de mitzvah tzrichot kavanah. Right, all this is if I argue that mitzvahs don't need kavanah. But if I argue the ilav herchi eni motar rak dafka mechavi mifirah shalosh shei mitzvah sheini mechavi klal lebracha, he would have to like clearly go out of his way to say I'm not having a you would have to argue that you specifically go out of your way to not have kavana, because if you argue, which we generally do, and we say mitzvahs do not need kavana, then how does it help that I didn't have kavana? So the only way this works is if I argue that mitzvahs do need kavana, and then I potentially help myself by saying I didn't have kavana, and therefore I wasn't yotzei the mitzvah. Yeah, Rob, what's up?
What does the Gemara mean by an isur aseh? What does it even mean?
Right, so isur aseh means I have a positive mitzvah to do something. And the Torah usually, right, there's two types of mitzvahs in the Torah, right? One is the Torah tells me to do something, and two is the Torah tells me don't do something. But sometimes when the Torah tells me to do something, that implies that I shouldn't do the opposite of the thing that it tells me to do. That's an isur aseh. So because the Torah tells me I should duchen, sorry?
Hashem tashivenu lo. You will certainly return a found object. Right? If you decide not to do it.
Right, so but how is this case analogous? So there's a mitzvah to do for the Kohen to duchen, and we have a non-Kohen who's duchen. It's like he's saying nice words. How is that an Isra?
Because the Torah tells me only you, I mean, I guess you have to read it this way, but the Torah would be telling me only you, the Kohen, can use these three consecutive sentences, potentially with some other tna'im, there may be some other conditions, but the Torah is telling me, only you people can do that. Whatever that is, that's part of what we're trying to figure out. But whatever that is, right, can only be done by Kohanim. Other people can't do this.
So it's kind of like an asay that's become a lotas.
Biduk, that's what idea. Right, so his argument over here, that maybe what the argument is that you're not having kavana for the mitzvah at all. And then, that's the Mishnah Berurah. So he says, if you're going to argue that this is really true, the kavana mitzvah tzrichos kavana, if we're really going to pass something like that, there's a lot of problems with making this argument. One of the big ones is, l'chor lefi zeh yesh litmar min haga olam shenog im levarech achal lechaveiro. Ben shehu kohen ozal, ben shemela beoto beloshen yimurechecha. ואהבת ברכה כזוי שלא בשעת תפילה, וידוע משהו בסביב השעמי, לא מצינו נשיאת כפיים בלא תפילה. הלא זהו בוודא רק תקנת דרבנן דקבור בתפילה. ומדרייסה, אינו תלוי בזה כלל. Now, it's interesting. Usually the Pir Halacha is just trying to sort of like explain what the Mishnah Berurah is doing at greater length. But here he's doing something that's a little bit interesting, right? Here, what he's doing is he's making a new argument. He's arguing that potentially you would make the case, he's refuting the argument, but the argument he could potentially could have made is that there are two types of duchening. there's two types of ways of saying these words, saying these three psukim, right? There's one which is just me saying these three psukim, and they're nice things to say, just like I would tell you any nice thing, you know, good luck on your test. I could also say, Yivrecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, right? These are all just nice things that we tell one another. It's a nice way to show each other support and love. But there's potentially, though, a problem but you could potentially argue that maybe that's only that the whole idea of Nesiat Kapayim is something that's exclusive to Tefillah. As part of Tefillah, as part of the Avodah, or as we saw the way the Rambam put this, right, as together, as part of the Kohanim, so the Kohanim bringing the Korbanos, maybe that's something that's exclusive to Tefillah. Outside of Tefillah, that's not considered Duchanim. He says that's only a Din D'Rabbanan. This whole idea that the only time that we Duchan is actually as part of the structure of Tefillah, that's a Din D'Rabbanan. Admit the Raisa, just the fact that we said those words, that's duchening. He said, so you're still going to cause yourself a problem if you want to say that there's a difference between those two things. He says, that can't be right. By the fact that he says that can't be right, I'll just point out that is an argument, right? That is an argument that somebody was making. There's a difference here between doing it as part of the Avodah, doing it as part of the structure of Tefillah. Again, it's the reason why we have somebody say Kohanim, like showing that, you know, we're giving permission to you now, go ahead and give the bracha. It's part of that structure versus outside of that structure. Yeah.
Pnei Yeshua's
argument was
that it was in the Beis
HaMikdash. So it's a very similar argument, right? Again, all this is going to basically what we're doing here basically is just trying to figure out how to when we say we know there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of duchening, we're just trying to qualify it. Like what makes it a mitzvah d'oraisa of duchening? Is it that's in the Beis HaMikdash? Is it with the Shem Mefurash? Is it with two hands? Is it saying the bracha before? Is it as part of tefillah? Like we have a couple of different options. That's basically all we're doing here. To make this shiur very simple. And he says, V'ula yeshlama de tama minam, which from the svira lehu kabach, the davka plisas yadayim over hazal be'asei, right? One option, again, he's trying to distinguish between these two things. He says, maybe if you don't pick up your hands, that's not considered a mitzvah, say, inami dekin tikno rabbanah shal isa kapayim be'lo tefila, shumi shalom psukim elu shal birkat kodayim be'lo tefila, ben kol ben yisrael, havikim mechavim befiru shalom lekayim be'zeh ha-mitzvah de birkos kohanim, v'lachein shali. He says, maybe I would argue that, remember the Mishnah Berurah's problem is that he wanted to make the case that if I specifically don't have in mind the kavanah to do the mitzvah, then I'm not going to necessarily accomplish this mitzvah. So he says the only way I can do that is if I make the case, which we don't necessarily paskin like, that mitzvah is shichas kavanah, right? That I have to specifically have in mind in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. So he says maybe that's true when I do something within the structure of that mitzvah. Like if I am duchening in the structure of tefillah, then just saying I don't have in mind to duchen, that's not good enough. Because obviously what you're doing here is the mitzvah. So by the fact that you went through the motions, even though you had in mind not to fulfill this actual obligation, that's not good enough. But once I duchen outside of the structure of how I'm supposed to be doing that mitzvah, outside of the structure of tefillah, so then it's irrelevant. Who cares? What does it matter? And that's not actually going to be considered a mitzvah. There's a couple of other sources I wanted to show you. It's all the way down here. Now, I wanted to show you Chavtzeret HaSharon because I like this guy. His Yisrael Kalbach. I'm actually, I think he's a chassid. He has this great set of chumashim on, perish on chumash. It's like a very lamdish, it's not like the what we usually talk about in the drasha, it's a very lamdish sefer. He has a lot of interesting ideas that he talks about. So, like, if you ever want to learn a sugya that has something relevant to a parsha, if you're ever trying to prepare a shir on the parsha, he's a great resource. He'll talk about, he'll give you a whole sugya with usually very interesting ma'alei mekomot on the topic, in case anyone here is planning on preparing a drasha, maybe a bar mitzvah drasha, he's a good resource in general. And he says, he quotes Uginat Vradim or Chaim, Kasa de Minaroi Shalai Vrecha Kohen Shalobishas Avoda Vitfila. A Kohen ideally shouldn't be using the structure of this Tfila outside, this bracha outside of the structure of Tfila. Right, just giving a bracha in general, that story that we quoted from the Gra, where apparently he was giving people brachas by their weddings, That's not. It's not clear that he can do it. Or pidyon aben. Right. So let's try to explain this. Let's try to understand this. Well, how exactly are you able to use the structure of duchening outside of tefillah? Right. Why is there an iser for a zal to duchen? Right. We just quoted the pasuk that says potentially that they shouldn't. But where does this issue actually come from? And he says, there's a mitzvah to mekadish kohanim, liot miuchadim la'avodatam, that they're the ones, that the only ones, they're the, that exclusively can do a certain avoda. Right? That Rashi, all the way back in the beginning of this shir that I showed you, that wasn't telling me, as Rob would point out, that that's an actual iser. That's just telling me that they don't have a mitzvah. Not that it's an iser, but they don't have a mitzvah. But by the fact that the Torah tells me that the Kohanim have a special Kiddusha, that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, right? The Parsha Emor Kohanim. Right, that whole parasha showing that there's something exclusive about Kohanim specifically. That's why Azal Anad Kohen shouldn't duchen. And therefore, the Chazanish says that any time that someone is Yisrael is doing something that is not within the construct of exclusivity of the Kohanim, for example, not within Tefillah, where it's something that, you know, is only Kohanim do, but just, I'm giving you a bracha because it's Friday night and I want to give my kids a bracha, or you're about to go on a trip and I want to give you a bracha, that there's no problem doing. That's not part of this. That's not part of this iser. Yeah. Rabbi, you want to say? Oh, you unmuted. I thought you wanted to say. All right. Asher neil because then the minisiyat kapayim shnei dinim chalukim ne'emuba. Right, Joshua. This is for you. All right. The whole concept of minisiyat kapayim this whole idea is there are two different types of minisiyat kapayim. Chada din bracha. One is, it's a bracha. Just like I wish good luck, I also give a bracha. Right? It's a bracha. It's a blessing. It's a nice thing to say. That can be done with anyone. Anyone can make this bracha. There's another type of bracha. That is b'torat avodah. That is as part of the structure of tefillah, as part of the structure of the Kohanim work in the Beis HaMikdash. That is part of how the Rambam organized Nisiyat Kapayim specifically within the construct of Avodat Beit HaMikdash. The Etzer HaBracha mitkayemet b'torat Avodat Hashem levarech tamo Yisrael b'ahava. V'kvar nitba'a le'edem, mivad ikar bracha sheyesh b'Nisiyat Kapayim, yesh b'ze gam inyan shel Shem Hashem al b'nei Yisrael, because they're minyan Avodat HaMikdashu. Right? This whole special putting God's name on the Jewish people, I'm not even going to try to figure out what that means. That's something that's exclusive to Kohanim and as part of their avoda. The Rambam says, "Our mitzvahs have mitzvah nesiyas kapayim ba'asei chafa." Oh, he quotes this Rambam, right? He quotes this proof, right? The Rambam brings that mitzvah nesiyas kapayim ba'asei chafa bechal avodat hamikdash, right? It's part of avodat hamikdash. Ve'im mitzvah adlakat menorah, ve'im mitzvah lechem apanim, right? It's between adlakat menorah, lechem apanim. You have this mitzvah of nesiyat kapayim. This is part of the avodah of the Mikdash. V'yisod leze, dinei harav sadya goyim ba'azharatav, lo mana mitzvah nesiyas kapayim. And he said, I have another proof. Because of sadya goyim, where he quotes his mitzvahs, does not quote, interestingly, a mitzvah of nesiyas kapayim. Why? V'tam alakach hagon Yitzhak Frank, I think, aseikof nan, hey, v'bir, the mitzvah nesiyas kapayim in the Torah, einan nahegas ilo b'mikdash. He says the din deoraisa of of duchening is only within the construct of working in the Beis HaMikdash. And since it's part of the Avodat HaMikdash, I don't need a separate mitzvah for it. There's no reason to add another mitzvah. It's just like the Kohanim have a mitzvah to bring karbanos, they have a mitzvah to light the menorah, they also have a mitzvah as part of that to give a bracha to the Jewish people. It's not its own mitzvah that requires me to count it. And mikimat shemana mitzvah avodah, since he counts this mitzvah avodah, shuv lo mana mitzvah. There was no reason for him to count any other mitzvah. And he says, the ikar mashu is hal hazal shelo la duchan. This whole idea, this iser of the zal to go up to duchan, ainon pat dinah de bracha. Da bracha lo kol mesura. That's not part of the construct of din number one of giving a bracha. Ki imsha iso hu levarech b'torat avodah. The only iser was doing it as part of the avodah, right? So he just jumped. You notice that, right? We before we're trying to say that there's two different levels here. One of the options are maybe this is something that's only during the Beis Hamikdash, and the other one is maybe this is something that's only within Tefillah. He just conflated those two things. He says, well, that's the same thing. What's the difference? That's Torah Sa'avodah. Now we used to have a Beis Hamikdash. Now it's part of Modim, right? When we say Modim, that's also, you know, where that's part of the Karban Todah, whatever it is. So that's where you would throw in Duchening, and that's part of the same concept. And he says, actually, right, it's also halacha explains the reason why when you are, when Kohanim go up to Duchen, if they don't start walking up by Ritzeh, right, Ritzeh, which is where we ask, you know, Hashem to accept our Karbanos, the reason why the Kohanim start have, this is, you notice in a lot of shuls, the Kohanim go up, and then the Chazan says Ritzeh. No, the Chazan's supposed to say Ritzeh, and then the Kohanim go up, because they're going up as part of this karbanet process. But if a kohen doesn't go up during the bracha of Ritzeh, and now let's say they're up to Modim, but they haven't actually yet started duchening, he shouldn't go up anymore. He lost his chance. The kohen goes up as part of the avoda, not outside of that. Why is Zalim allowed to bench? So he said the same thing. Right, this whole Kohanim giving brachas to people as part of pinyon aben or as part of traveling, part of chasadim. This is not an issue. This is din number one, not din number two. And that's the same thing. You just quoted again. Achein din osaf here it is. Shabbatat bracha. Right, this bracha is interesting. He says this bracha that the Kohanim give from in front of the shul, that bracha is for everyone in the city. This is interesting. This is also a halacha as part of duchening, right? This is why in our shul it doesn't matter because I sit in the front and I'm going up to duchen. But if you have like the rabbi sitting in front of the Kohanim, he always has to go to be in front of them when they turn around. So when he actually makes the bracha, everyone should be in front of the Kohanim because that's the structure. The nature of the bracha of the avoda is panim al panim. It has to be face to face. Everyone in the audience has to be facing the Kohanim. And that's how you get that bracha. And he says, right, the entire city gets a bracha once the Kohanim follow that structure, even the people out in the fields. That's why in a shul, where you have a shul of everybody's Kohanim, you don't need anyone facing. Everybody can go up to Duchen, and that's fine, because you have the whole city now is getting a bracha from them. It doesn't necessarily have to be physically in front of them. That's what he says here. Right there, you don't get this chefetz of a bracha, you just get this concept of the avoda in general. Anyways, all of this to say, just to take a step back and ending off with this concept, is that it clearly seems, right, that there are two different gemaras that sound like they're contradicting each other. And it's not just an issue between these two gemaras, it's an issue in general whenever you have Kohanim giving a bracha outside of the construct of davening, whenever you have a zar either going up to duchen in shul, which I don't think happens that often, but a zar also using the psukim of duchening to give somebody else a bracha, most classically by Friday night. And we saw a whole bunch of reasons playing around, toying with, trying to figure out what the difference between between these two gemaras are. What could possibly be the difference between this ideal duchening, let's call it duchening, in the Beis Hamikdash, with Shem Mefurash, with your two hands, and if I deviate from any one of those things, maybe I'm now not part of the real duchening, and therefore it would be okay. Unclear if maybe, you know, how far I'd have to go. Is it, you know, is tefillah good enough to be part, just the same thing as being in the Beis Hamikdash? Is the two hands the most important part? There's a couple of potential deviations that we saw throughout this. A couple, again, I don't know why the Gra is, becomes the big deal here. But all these weird stories from the Gra involved in Duchening seem to imply different things. But then this really nice idea from the Chavtzeret HaSharon, where he basically constructs this two different types of Duchening. One, which is, you know, the actual duchening of the Avodah, duchening of the Beis HaMikdash, explaining why the Rambam and the Rabbi Sadia Gaon doesn't count this as even a mitzvah, or Rambam, why it counts as a mitzvah, specifically as part of Avodat HaMikdash, versus just duchening, saying a bracha, just like I say good luck. I can also say Yivrecha Hashem Yishmarecha, Kiro Ma'adav Kemina, what's the difference? Yeah. So he would probably argue that he's not actually going up to Duchen as part of Tefillah, and he just asked him to go up there and, you know, say some nice words to everybody. Right? Like, get up there, give us all a bracha, probably wasn't part of davening. It's sort of like how when we have our bar mitzvah speeches, they can give their speeches, it's just not part of davening. Part of davening, it's the actual drasha.
Just my own observation is that the Gra probably was looking for a napkin.
He found a strimal.
Not a strimal.
That's what you see a strimal, you just see a napkin. Yeah. So this is basically what I wanted to present tonight. Unless I hear something, unless I can find some more sources, maybe when I listen to this shir that Eliezer Brutt gave me, I'll get some other ideas. I think I only have one more shir left for duchening, and that will be the practical halacha lemaisa shir that I plan on doing Shavuos, probably between Mincha, Ma'ariv, and Shul. But otherwise, I think I may be duchened out, and we may be ready to move on. I know Rob's duchened out, but I might also be duchened.
No, but this was actually very interesting.
You said that by my last one also.
This is very good.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Thank you.
I have to understand what excites you, what interests you. We have to have a talk later.
No, I mean, the fact is that this is relevant to Mount Kalana. It's an interesting question.
Yeah. So that's the... All right.
Kalana, a bit elitist.
Only a bit? That doesn't sound right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining me, for joining us. It was a pleasure. And see you tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yes. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye.